Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
And as you can see, we're in a very cozy space today.
Yeah, we're in a different location. We're not at Tyco.
We're not. We are at Emily's house.
We're in my living room.
Yes. But we have an autumnal display.
Yes.
And today we're doing...
Merlot. Which is, I know, yeah, that tone of voice sort of sums
it
up.
I've
actually been dreading this episode a lot.
And here we are. And I'm actually excited I'm still dreading
to do it. I'm just like, oh, how am I going to be passionate about this?
We don't have to be passionate. We can be dispassionate. It's okay. They don't all have to be winners. So today we each brought something, a Merlot. And as I never drink Merlot, generally, it's not something I seek out. It's not something we buy at home. So it was a bit of a challenge.
Actually, it was for me too, because I think when we said we were going to do this episode, I was like, oh, that'll be interesting. And then, or maybe it'll push the boat. But it's a bit, it is a bit of a challenge, actually, to find one that I feel passionate about. But I think, well, it'll be interesting to try yours. I don't know yours. I've just got back from South Africa a few weeks ago. So I picked this up whilst I was there when we were discussing.
All right.
Doing Merlot.
I knew you'd get something more interesting. That's why I went for a Bordeaux.
I've never tasted this though.
Okay, cool, perfect. I've never tasted mine either.
Yeah. Where should we start?
I mean, I was a little excited about... the only reason I was excited about mine is when I knew I was going to get a Bordeaux, because I thought I'll just get something French and classic, but then trying to decide between something Pomerol or what I ended up doing, Saint-Emilion, was, so this is 75% Merlot, 24% Cab Franc, and 1% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Interesting.
So actually, that makes me a little excited to try it.
Yeah, because you love a bit of Cabernet Franc.
You know I love a little Frankie. And and it's organic, which I thought was also interesting. Certified organic from Bordeaux.
So I thought, okay, so what would
be interesting. So I feel like it might be an easy... I mean, if it's got a bunch of Cabernet Franc.
So this is 2015.
15. Grand Corbin d'Espagne. Grand Cru Classé. And that's about all I know.
Okay, let's get stuck in.
All right. I'm so used to using the Tyke opener.
I know.
This one even has a knife on it.
I actually, when I just handed that over to you, I was thinking...
Should have. See, I didn't bring it with me.
Yeah, I should have. Anyway. That's the downside of not recording at Tyco.
At Tyco. Except you get to see me, like, mangle this with a regular opener where I have no excuse. So here we are. It's been a long...
So I think, in terms of Merlot, I mean... I think it probably gets a... I mean, I'm giving it a bit of a bad rap now, but I think it definitely gets a bit of a bad rap by a lot of people.
Myself.
Oh, no. Do you want a tissue?
No.
Okay.
But I might cease and desist and let you finish that before I bleed over everything.
Okay.
It was all really tight, that capsule.
It is. It's quite a thick piece of metal.
It's really tight. Oh, yeah.
So, Yeah, so when I think about Merlot, obviously it's a great variety that's quite widely planted, particularly in France. I think there's something like 300,000 hectares of Merlot. It's like one of the most widely planted varietals in France. Hmm. So it's quite it's quite easy to understand why that is.
Why?
Because of sort of, particularly in the southwest, a lot of the bigger bulk wine producers use.
Merlot.
As well. And I think, you know, we're all used to seeing in our local pub a cheap Merlot by the glass. And
I might actually take a Kleenex.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Yeah. There is some... Yeah. Mm. There you go.
Man, it got me good. Oi! There's a paper cut.
We'll just take a little pause until Gwen returns. So we see a lot of bigger producers vinifying vinifying Merlot. I think that's mainly because it grows really well. You can get quite a good yield out of the grape variety.
Okay.
And in general, it really suits a lot of people's taste, because when it's made, let's say, at a more bulk level or whatever, ripe level, it can be very soft, fruity, and quite easy to drink.
Okay.
You know, I think this is, you know, cheap Merlot. for a lot of people is sort of great for that sort of house wine level. And I think, there we go, pop that on there. I think that's what I kind of associate.
My acne thumbnail.
Oh, God. We're just laughing at Gwen, for those that are tuning
in. But can't see me,
audio.
I've got
it's
like
now
a...
I've got kitchen roll just wrapped.
So it's like...
Very...
I mean, I even cut the other bit of my... Like, I cut my whole hand up. That's like a... Yeah. Sorry, guys.
She tattoos better than she opens
Gwen. Yeah, thank God I've got a few days off after this, so I can, like, heal.
But yeah, but I would say, even though it gets a bad rap, and even though I was a little bit unenthusiastic, some of the best wines in the world are made with Merlot.
Okay.
And, you know, Bordeaux being an incredible example of that. Some of the most age-worthy wines being made with Merlot. Merlot-dominant blends as well. And we do see it in other places, so France being the main part.
Right.
Italy as well, it's quite popular. Yep. Particularly the northeast around Friuli.
Chile,
Australia,
Chile.
Yeah, they would be the main key areas, actually, yeah.
I kind of figured you would bring something not French. That's why I went with the French as a compare and contrast. But
actually, I chose something that's actually a little bit less common to have Merlot, but there is, when we get to it, there is a connection, actually, to yours and mine.
Cool.
Other than the varietal.
I mean, this actually smells quite good.
It smells really nice. And I'm sure that it's a little bit extra lifted because of the Cab Franc as well. But quite purple in colour. Actually, a purple ruby. It's difficult to tell with all these autumnal leaves on my table. Percent alcohol, but it's quite balanced.
I would probably want to eat something.
Already, I think you would. I mean, especially with more full-bodied wines, I don't like to just
drink.
If it's not Nebbiolo, I'm not interested.
No, it's pretty, like, crunchy feeling.
Yeah. The tannins feel quite dry, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a
Even
bit
though
of firmness.
Everything else seems quite light, and then it's like...
Yeah. So this is quite a typical blend. They're all doing something slightly different. Often Cabernet and Merlot blended together because they say... Cabernet gives it like a donut shape on your palate.
Oh,
the mid palate's kind of lacking a bit of fruit.
So then the Merlot fills the...
Exactly,
it's like
a
jelly donut of wine.
It is. That's the jam.
That's the jam.
Jam, you mean jelly, right? That was like a North Americanism.
That's my North American jelly donut. I don't know, jam donut doesn't have the same...
But jelly donut, I think of an actual bit of jelly inside. You know, like the wobbly ones that you used to make from... Those
like,
little cubes.
Like Jell-O.
Yeah. Oh, then you call it... Yeah, see, that doesn't make sense. Jelly and Jell-O.
Jell-O's the brand.
Oh, okay.
Jell-O. But everyone calls it Jell-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much to say about it other than that it's like...
But, no, I do think there's definitely this slightly herbal, leafy, in a good way.
Oh, yeah, totally leafy.
Yeah, a little bit of perfume there, a little bit of violets, but lots of sort of brambly fruit.
Yeah, it is an autumn walk.
A what?
An autumn walk.
Oh, okay. An autumn walk.
An autumn walk. It is a bit. You're right with the leafy thing.
Mm.
I guess that also, there's like a sort of, like a little, maybe it's the leafiness giving it like a little spice at the end, or maybe that's just the alcohol kick that gives it a bit of a...
So, yeah, it's full-bodied, but it's got nice freshness. Likely it's been acidified. Because it's Bordeaux, let's be honest. But that sounds slightly judgy, but it's true.
What does that mean then? They add something?
I don't know this producer, so I can't say for sure, but it is quite common in Bordeaux for the wines to be a bit more manipulated.
Okay.
So different things can be done to increase, decrease.
I was reading the
concentrate your must, concentrate the fruit.
I mean, this wasn't like a super, it wasn't a super cheap one. I kind of went for something a little mid-range. So it was probably in the like 35 euro range.
Okay. It's nice though.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happier, I think, if we were eating something.
Yeah, a little bit of meat on the side.
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Yeah, stew.
Yeah.
I think these are wines as well for this time of year. This is what a lot of people want to drink. I do think...
Totally.
I just find it so hard to connect with it. I feel like that guy from Sideways...
Yeah, it
Have
is
you seen that?
Yeah, long time ago.
Ain't
I should probably rewatch
no
it.
No fucking Merlot. And he's in the Napa. I basically did that one of the days when I was in South Africa as well. With two Merlots after at dinner, and I was just like,
nope.
No, yeah, I just said, I'm going to order another bottle. You guys drink that.
Yeah, yeah, like, you're fine.
You do you.
Yeah, I'll do me. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Maybe that's why, because I definitely not looking for Merlot on a regular basis. And if I see it, it's like the last thing I'd probably order on a wine list. Not that I hate it, because I would happily, I mean, I'm not that fussy. I'll drink pretty much anything. But yeah, you're right about the connecting to it. Maybe that's what it is. It is sort of like austere in a way that's like, it's not warm. You're not like going back for it.
Yeah, it's just, I can't quite put my finger on why.
It's a dress up dinner.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's a bit stiff.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
In its defense, though, this is a well made wine. It's perfectly pleasant. If it was on a table, I would drink this and not refuse. Like, even though I was being a bit snobby when I was in South Africa, but I would drink this bottle of wine. Christmas Day, roast dinners. That would be a lovely occasion. Like,
it
roast
has
beef.
A kind of all right bitterness at the end that I usually like. That's probably.
Yeah.
Frankie at play also a little bit.
Yeah. That bit of freshness.
Yeah.
A little bit of tannic grip.
When you think stews, you would have something stewed with this.
Stewed or like roasted beef, Chateaubriand, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
It's also like fancy dinner, dress-up dinner stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, because you're right. I think like a bit of like caramelization on the outside of meat would do well with that little bitter note, some fatty, like a crunchy
rind. Yeah, it's supposed to be City Banker lunch, isn't it?
Totally. So if you're into bankers,
get into Merlot,
you'll find
yourself. You're destined to find a husband.
Because I do think, like, sometimes if I've asked someone that say, makes a lot of money, what kind of wines they like to drink, you do hear from, like, but I do think that's the last thing that I go to. I'm like, all right, if you can't have Bordeaux, what are you
and
having?
And good old Bordeaux, like, there are some iconic wines that have Merlot in that. I've had some brilliant bottles.
Just not as attainable.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you're going to drink... I think if you have a lot of money to spend, you can probably drink some fab Bordeaux or Merlots from that region. I just don't know if I know which ones they are. So, actually, if you've got
I'm drinking it because it's easy.
Yeah, it's not that... It's actually,
But we've had bottles where we're drinking together, and I'm like, fucking hell, I want to down this because it's so delicious.
Yeah, I'm not having the same...
What about you? I do think it's a good well-made wine.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I think if we were eating something, I think it would be fruitier. It would have less, like...
Curry.
Cold curry? Like what? Like a Rogan... I wasn't Rogan Josh.
A Rogan Josh.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but not like...
A spicy one.
Sweet, fragrant, not too spicy. Because this isn't that tannic.
No, it could be much...
Much more. But it isn't.
I don't know, I kind of want to have duck and sour cherries.
But I do feel sorry for the grape variety, because it does get a shitty rap, because quite a lot of people...
It's been pigeonholed in there.
Well, yeah, just it's the underdog to Cabernet Sauvignon. Yeah. Everybody thinks Cabernet
ugly
Sauvignon.
Sister.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's the underachiever almost, or the surprise winner when it does come through. Because I think Cabernet Sauvignon has become just so famous, like, particularly in regions like the Napa, where it's, you know, when I was working in America last year, everyone would say, Cab is king. And I was like, oh, God, that's an awful T-shirt waiting to happen.
But do you think that that's part of the rest of the world trying to live up to Bordeaux's reputation?
Probably.
It's that, like, if we can do something like Bordeaux, then we've made it. You know,
probably.
It's that, like, it's an ego thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, why is everyone making... historically Bordeaux blends around the world, because they want to show that they are as refined as the French or as good as the French or as whatever.
Yeah,
it's just a contest.
Yeah,
which is too bad, because actually it would have been nice because I think there are some nice Chilean Merlots that are much softer, easier to drink.
I'm sure I've probably had one, I can't recall.
It's been
one.
Ages, but yeah. I think they're much easier to drink, much
well,
more
and
free.
At a cheaper price point, so they'd be
totally.
Great for people to buy from supermarkets. So I do think for people who struggle sometimes to know exactly what red wine they want. They want something that's round, fruity, not too dry, not too light,
works
not
with
too
food.
Oaky, and not too tannic like Cabernet can be sometimes. Then Merlot is a great variety for them to go for, I think.
Yeah.
But because it is easy, you know, it's a good maybe I would say like barbecue picnic wine in terms of
yeah. I think smash the barbecue thing is also a good
some grilled meat.
Yeah, because I think the grilled thing with the charcoal is a nice match to the sort of crunchiness of the sounds good. Yeah, I mean that was worth a try. I'm not offended.
You know, like it's funny. I'm not. I probably wouldn't go. I'm going to nip down the shop and get another bottle. But like if we sat and drank it at the table, I'd find it perfectly fine.
Yeah, especially if it was like paired with something that works with it. It would. I actually think I'd be curious to try it. I'll bring it with me.
Yeah,
I'm going and see. Eat something.
Where are you?
Lucas has got some leftover dinner, so I think some goose and red cabbage.
You mean when you go home?
Yes.
I'll take it with me where I'm going. Yeah. I was like, that's
to my house. When I'm going far away, me and my half drank Merlot and my acne thumb.
Oh my God.
Injuries. It's what we do for you. All right, done.
You get rid of it. So, I was just traveling, as I said, a few weeks back in South Africa. And, yeah, we obviously had a plan to do some recording of Merlot, so I was like, oh shit, I better get a Merlot. Yeah, so I was like, oh. Anyway, so it's not so common to see Merlot, but in this region, Stellenbosch is mm-hmm. where it's coming from. Very typical to have a bit more of those Bordeaux varietals, so you see a bit of Cabernet, you see Cabernet Franc, Merlot as well too, and Syrah actually. So this... The reason why I said this has a connection, so what we're trying, just for the sake of everybody on audio and probably on video too, because nobody can zoom in this part. This is 2017 Glenelly.
It's a fun one to say. Glenelly.
I know. Mate, there's some weird names over there to say. There was one that was like, Verhelehen. And it was like, because it was like Fergalagen.
Oh, yeah.
But Verhelehen. And it was like, every time I was like,
because it's like some Afrikaans a little bit, which is based on Dutch, yeah. So I was just like,
oh God, yeah.
Fun. Yeah. I was hoping you'd bring something from South Africa, so I'm actually very pleased.
Well, there'll be more stuff to discover over the other podcast too.
Oh la la.
Yeah. So this is 100% Merlot. This particular producer, so this was a farm that existed, a farm with vineyards on, that apparently existed since like, I wrote it down, in 1684.
Oh, wow.
1682, almost remembered, and then was purchased in 2003 by the woman who owned Chateau Pichon Longueville Comtesse Lalande.
Oh, la la.
Very, very famous producer in the Médoc.
Okay.
And bought this estate, so saw some kind of similarity. I was trying to say similarity and commonality together.
Oh, God.
Just didn't work. Similarity. Yeah.
So she thought
there was a similar climate and it was suited to the varietals and she wanted to make Bordeaux wine. So single variety, this is a sort of cheaper range, if you like, the glass collection where there's single varietal wines. So she makes a Merlot, or the winemaker makes Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc and Syrah, all single varietals, and then there's like
some blends.
Yeah, the Bordeaux blend called Lady May. Her name's May.
Okay.
I think it's a blend of all of them, including Syrah, because apparently, this is a fact that I learned when I was.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to go to South Africa to learn something more local.
I think my might not know.
What do you think it is?
That it was originally part of the blends in Bordeaux. I did know this.
Up until the early 1900s, a little bit of Northern Rhone Syrah would be blended in for colour and for fruit,
Great.
Yeah, probably make the wines more interesting.
Much better, yes. Let's go back in time, guys.
Yeah.
But I wonder also, because I guess then there's this like a little bit of a either colonial or a like, where the people went with the Bordeaux blends.
Yeah.
It's like maybe not only people trying to masquerade as French or impress the French, but also just taking it with them when they went somewhere else.
Because
everyone loves a bit of home.
Yeah. It's like that little image of you with the, what that you said, with the little roots, the little grapevines moving along with suitcases.
They're like, and we're out of here.
We're going somewhere new.
Yeah, because everyone likes something from home. I mean, we're all guilty of like enjoying our bits and pieces from back home. And I've seen Italians travel to New Zealand with Italian wine because they were afraid they wouldn't find wine in New Zealand.
Isn't that mad? I mean, it's mad now because we have the insight and
right. Power
foresight. It's an incredible thing, isn't it?
So I kind of imagine that, yeah, if you like see a bit of something that looks like home, that you'd want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So this smells a lot fruitier. It's still brambly, but creamier.
It's quite different, isn't it, as well? Yeah. It's interesting on the back because I was just looking at this because there's actually little drawings, which I think are the tasting notes, which say plum, blackberry, cinnamon, cocoa, mulberry and cherry. Yeah.
It does have a gourmandise kind of gourmand thing.
Yeah, but there is a spiciness there, isn't there, which is quite nice, actually.
Much more velvety smelling and
So fermentation for this wine is done in stainless steel, natural yeasts apparently as well. And then it goes through malolactic in oak barrels and it's kept there for around 12 months. Yeah.
Creamy smell about it. It does smell really good.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks maceration in the skin.
Oh, wow. Smoky. Mm. Wow, it's really, it's almost like
peat. It's actually quite nice.
Yeah, it's like peat smoke. It has that like...
I agree.
Lefroy moment happening.
We all know those Lefroy moments with wine.
Smoky. No, that's weird. It's just not what I expected. That's Scots
coming out in you, isn't it?
I just didn't expect it to be...
It's a Lefroy moment. I wish I could do that in a Scottish accent.
Aye. Aye. Don't we all? No, I just didn't expect that because it has such a like desserty...
Because it's so fruity.
Yes, it's leading you to think that it's going to be...
Jammy.
And then you're like, pow, it's like smoky and peaty. That's actually quite interesting.
And there is a bit of that sweet, a little bit of that sweet spice, maybe cinnamon-ish. But I think that's obviously maybe coming from the wood as well. But
wow. I didn't expect that. I guess that's coming from the wood to that aftertaste that's giving me the Scotch vibes.
It's not bad.
No. I think I would also drink this with food, however.
Yeah, this is 14.5% alcohol.
Oh yeah, you need something to eat.
Yeah. You don't feel the burn too much, though.
No.
With either of those wines.
But you do feel it. This one is, it's weightier. Resonating in your in your mouth after.
As in, it has got... Do you mean it's got a long finish, or you mean it's just, more viscous and thicker?
It's definitely, the finish is very long, because it's still, completely coating my mouth. I'm still feeling it, not only on my tongue, but the roof of my mouth.
And... So I bought this wine for 180 rand.
What does that even mean?
It means it was about £9.
Wow.
Wine's very cheap there, though.
Yeah, yeah.
To buy in a shop. They put very small margins on it and very low tax. So I think...
It's a probably good value for...
Yeah, but I think probably if it came over here...
More in the 30? 25.
I reckon around 20.
They could probably sell it for even a bit more because it's come from far away.
Yeah. And like I said, the Lady May wine, we had a bottle of that. It was the wrong time of night. It was after food and we've been drinking very opulent white wines. Then we went to that were very characterful from the small producers. And then we went to sort of Glenelly Lady May after, and it was just the wrong context for the wine. Okay. So I didn't really appreciate it. But it's very, apparently quite highly regarded, the top
interesting.
One. But yeah.
No, this is definitely interesting. I think also
And definitely an improvement on those little raspberry jam house wines that you drink that are made with Merlot.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I still think barbecue is probably the way to go. This could put up
South African braille.
Yeah, this could put up with some...
And the spices. Yeah. That's why I say braai. Sometimes they rub the meat.
Good.
They do this really typical thing in South Africa as well, where they make these sausages, which I'm probably going to say wrong. I think it's called boerewors, which is so they kill whatever animal it is, mince up the meat, and they add spices, basically allspice. So there's cloves, cinnamon, and all this stuff inside. So you have that, they'll just... And it looks like a snake almost, because it's just...
Okay. I think a coil kind of thing?
Well, I think it's just piped into the intestine.
Yeah,
or,
But then it's not made into links. It's one long
thing, and then it all gets cooked, and then you just break... You put it on the table, and everyone breaks off pieces.
Because that always sounds convivial. Quite Eastern European. You see those dishes with the sausage.
It doesn't kind of stay... It actually just looks like a pile of intestines on the plate. So it doesn't stay in one perfect...
It doesn't stay
often.
In a coil, okay.
It's just like this curly sausage.
The curly whirly of sausages.
Yeah, the intestine of sausages. And then they make a dry version of that, which is called, I think it's called Dryverse, or something like that, which just means like dry dried sausage.
Yeah.
And that's awesome too, but again, lots of cloves and lots of cinnamon.
So this would be great with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think this could really put up with quite a bit of strong flavours. Hmm. So I'd be really curious to hear what Merlots you're drinking, because if you've got some that are amazing, please let us know.
Let us know. We'd like to try some. Yes. Yeah, if you've got some Merlots that will change our mind about Merlots, we'd love to try it, because we'll revisit them on the podcast.
Yes. We'll do
at some point.
I think that would be nice.
Yeah. So yeah, like we said, little grape variety that can go into bulk wine, be really easy to drink, and then actually making some actually sort of better wine, some serious wines. I mean, I drank that really quickly. That's how I associate that. It's just, I'm not analysing it actually, I was just glugging.
I think for me it's like pretty full on. I hadn't eaten dinner yet, so it's like both of these are quite big for not having eaten anything.
I've been non-stop eating all day, so...
I had a brownie a while ago.
Yeah.
My afternoon snack. No, but this was definitely a surprise smell versus taste, which is really nice. I think that's always, like, fun when you have an expectation and then it's completely takes you in a different direction.
Yeah. Very nice. So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, please stay in touch. Obviously, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe
to the YouTube
channel.
And
if you're tuning in on audio, also please subscribe.
Subscribe really everywhere. Yeah, just get on everything and subscribe.
Stay with us. We want you to stay with us. You can find us on Instagram at
juice.podcast.
Also, yes, and on...
Because I don't know the Twitter
one. I know, you're always trying to get it in there. So she does no tweeting.
Is it underscore?
Juice_podcast and our website, juice.show. Drop us a line. Any wine questions, any interesting things to keep us up to date with, we want to hear.
Cool. So until next week, I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
Cheers!